Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Pride and Ownership, to Love for the Job. I'm Chief Rick Lasky, and we are in Marrero, Louisiana, with the Marrero Fire Department, actually in Jefferson Parish. We're going to be visiting with a couple of members from the department here, coming up on the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, the tragedy that struck the states down here along the Gulf Coast, and just visit on what's happened since then and back then and just how you make it through that. My good buddy John Salk and I just finished a company officer academy here and had a great, great couple days with another great group. Fire department here does some incredible things. They, you know, great training facility, great department. They host a lot of classes. So just a wonderful, wonderful few days. I'm being joined today by two members from the Marrero Fire Department. And it's with Deputy Chief Blake Hunter and Captain Gus Tierney. Gus is the training captain. Welcome, guys.
How you doing,
Chief?
We're doing good. And you know what? I appreciate yesterday that you took me for a little tour, and we chatted. We do a Periscope TV live broadcast from the seawall, the new seawall, and that. But just before we get to that, your department. Explain to me the demographics here, the size of your department, Blake, and you know, and then we can talk about the county or the parish or whatever, how that works here.
Parish-wide. Okay, well, in Marrero, we have three separate fire departments, actually. Marrero Estelle, Marrero Goose, and Marrero Harvey. We are Marrero Estelle. We run a total of 9 fire stations. We operate together as one district, though. So we run all around the district together. Marrero Estelle, has 3 stations. We have 3 engine companies. We have a rescue squad. We run with 8 paid staff and volunteer staff. We have about 10 volunteer staff. So we work in combination together though with the other departments. They run about the same amount of manpower. Total, we're 9 stations, 9 engine companies, 2 rescue companies, district-wide, and 1 ladder company, district-wide. Jefferson Parish itself has a total of 15 fire departments. All these departments are combination departments except for East Bend Consolidated. It's the only fully paid department in Jefferson Parish.
In Kenner.
Okay. Kenner Fire Department is paid.
And everybody works pretty good together?
Yes. Everybody works well together.
Okay. And then now, Gus, our training captain, Captain Tierney, you drove me by. Now, the training facility went by. Who all uses that? Because that's pretty cool. That's better than some state academies I've seen.
The training facility is used by all 15 departments in Jefferson Parish. We have career academies and volunteer academies that go there. The career academies are Monday through Friday during the day. Volunteer academies are at night, certain nights, and on the weekends. So we accommodate them because they're working during the week. Everyone participates in multi-company drills. They go out there. We do the classroom part all together, and then we go outside and we do evolutions. We break up into our individual departments. We perform the evolutions together with our own personnel. We hold pump operator schools, fire officer schools, medical classes.
The facility was pretty, we drove by, I'm like, he started pointing to it, Blake, and I'm like, golly, man, we travel all over, and that's a better setup, like I said, than some state academies.
Constantly being updated. We just got the new burn building in Tower. We just got a new administration building with a theater-style classroom plus 2 regular classrooms.
Can I come work here?
Yes.
And what, can I be a volunteer?
Absolutely. You want to start?
I'd love to ride backwards, man, here. That'd be awesome. I met your guys. I'd love to work. I'd work in a heartbeat. Hey, we're actually today, for our listeners, August 23rd is when Hurricane Katrina was forming off the coast of Florida. And I know it made 3 different landfalls.
Right.
But the 29th, right, is actually when it made landfall here.
Louisiana, correct.
Louisiana. And you guys were both in the fire service and both here. In this area,
right.
Walk me through that. I mean, we talked about, I mean, there are things that went on that went well and things that didn't and were better because of that, believe it or not, folks. If I could ask you, and I'll ask you first, Blake, if you could put your fingers on a couple things that you think had the most dramatic impact, the most improvement. 10 years now, what do you think? How far? What one item, if you could say this, were that much better because of?
I think there's probably two. One would be improved levee systems and flood walls to protect the local neighborhoods from flooding from the storm surge coming up through the Gulf of Mexico, through the Lafitte area, which is Lafitte neighbors Marrero and Harvey. So the surge reaches the Gulf and pushes up through the bayous, and we're not too far away from there. So the levees and the flood walls, the flood protection in general, and communications, those are the two things. Our radio communications and computer communications now have improved drastically since
well,
then.
Well, now tell me the difference, because I'm born and raised in a city. I'm what they call a cityite, okay, and that. But the difference between a levee and the flood wall, you know, the walls, the levee, that's when we talk about those breaching or whatever, that was more like the embankment that would keep...
That's mud, just mud, dirt, just mud and dirt.
Mud and dirt.
Keeps the water back, yes.
So, yeah, kind of a berm, if you will, right?
Correct.
Gotcha.
The flood wall is just a big, thick cement wall.
And some of that, the levee, I remember, was just because of lack of upkeep or age or weather.
Right.
It just, you know, and it was, there were some weak spots that...
The breach that actually happened in the city was because of a barge that broke loose and actually struck...
That's right.
Struck the bank and
that's
ripped
right.
it open.
That's right. The barge that broke loose and did that. And then the seawalls, you showed me that yesterday. This is like this gigantic, the Great Wall of China thing.
I
that
believe they're about 15 foot tall, about 15 feet tall, between 15 and 18 feet tall. Run about 4 miles down the road, and all the businesses that are behind the walls, they all have access gates. The gates stay open normally when a storm is approaching or they feel the need that there may be a rise in the water or a surge. They'll evacuate everybody, and then they'll bring cranes in and lower the gates into the wall.
And we're talking big. We're talking high walls, and we're talking gigantic gates. I mean, we're standing in front of them.
15. They're about 15 feet tall, 30 feet, 35 feet wide.
And heavy, and I know we talked about hydraulic pressure and all that with the water. You close those things are, that's holding everything back.
It's holding everything back on that side. Yep.
Well,
I'm not going to say we've tested, but we've had water come up quite a few times since they've completed it, not with any major hurricanes approaching, with some smaller storms that have just pushed a slow surge up. And we've seen 8 to 10 feet of water on the other side of those walls already.
Where
we used ladder trucks to actually raise our inflatable boats over the wall, place them down, and use the boats to get over to the casinos or the hotels and try and get out any workers or anybody that was left behind that didn't expect the water to come up. It wasn't a rush of water, a little bit at first, but they ended up staying back.
Isn't that, guys and Gus, isn't that what gets you? I mean, I know it's in the Carolinas, my good friends there, I got some great friends of the fire service there, said, what snookers people, that's a Chicago term, sneaks up on them is, you know, because it isn't like a tornado that came through. It's like all of a sudden they see a little bit of water,
right.
And then a little bit more, and it's like, and all of a sudden, it just, the next thing you know,
yeah.
it's not like a tsunami as much.
Right.
It's just all
it's not like a big wave, but it's a steady
yeah.
flow of millions of gallons of water. So,
millions.
You know, within an hour, you can see the water coming over the levee, and then in an hour you can be in 5 foot of water.
What would happen with the 8 feet of water if that had happened without those walls?
It went into the neighborhoods, adjoining neighborhoods, like it did for Katrina.
There you go.
Flooded all the neighborhoods.
Small, little drainage canals that would absorb a little bit, but once those filled up, that's it. It would just
yeah.
kept going.
Doesn't take long to hit that capacity.
No.
Well, so obviously, you know, when people take a proactive approach to what we look sometimes as a reactive, but, you know, it worked. It already
right.
worked.
It's already worked.
It's already worked. Kept 8 feet of water.
In addition to the flood walls that
they
put up, they improved levees. They added additional levees. They improved pumping stations, and they added pumping stations. We actually now have the largest pumping station in the world.
In the world.
That's adjacent to these walls. that has a floodgate associated with that that they closed, and it can pump water out to that way.
On the south side of the wall.
On the south side.
That's on the south
side.
Now,
what is that, when you say pump it, what does that pump it to? Just
pumps it back out towards the Gulf.
Back out to
towards the Gulf.
Out towards the Gulf.
It'll stop the surge and kind of pump it back
on
itself.
It has 11 diesel engines on it.
There's and on the north side is the other gates I was telling you about, the ones the Hydro Force kind of gates it. They have just enough power within themselves to actually close, and then the force of the water actually causes the gates to tighten down.
Yeah.
And seal themselves.
You're using the water to help you, actually.
Exactly. So you don't have to have any kind of reactive force trying to hold the water back. Those play a very big role in the whole scenario, because if those wouldn't be there, the surge would reach the Harvey Locks. The Harvey Locks separate the Harvey Canal from the Mississippi River. And if that surge reaches those locks and breaches those locks, then we're really in for trouble with the river water coming back at us.
Everything you're saying, this is so huge for our listeners. You know, I used to kind of look at the disaster management people. We call them ESDA, civil defense, and ESDA in the old days. How disaster management, preparation, preparedness is incredible with what you talk about, because it's not a matter of when you get another storm that's going to hit there, you know, or if, it's a matter of when I should say. And already you have things in place. Take me back. We were talking about this. You know, when that happened, I mean, Gus, you and I were standing in the street, and you're like, yep, all these telephone poles, all this damage. I mean, and it's hard to imagine. There's beautiful restaurants and hotels and things you would never have known. But back then, I mean, you guys said you talked about power outage for like over 2 weeks, right?
Over 2 weeks. Yes, and we spent, we didn't leave, we spent 21 days in the firehouse without leaving, fully staffed. And we were without power up until about 3 or 4 days prior to that. It's about two and a half weeks, total darkness.
And we know we have generators, but we found out Katrina, like 9/11. 9/11 was a god-awful, horrible event, but our country has made so many tremendous improvements since then because of what we learned. Same thing with Katrina. With, you know, there are a lot of folks out there that between those two big events realized generators that normally ran didn't run for that long and all that,
right,
and so on and so forth. And now we've ramped up things. I like to ramped up ever since that, you know, all those. But I mean, how are the people? There were still people that didn't go, right? That didn't evacuate.
We had citizens who brought their deep freezers to us at the fire station and said, "Take this food. We're leaving. We're not coming back."
They actually
before it goes
brought
bad.
Their whole. When he says deep freezer, they came with the deep freezer in the back of the truck. We unloaded the freezer and plugged it in at the firehouse.
Plugged it in.
Well, and I know, you know, a lot of people don't get. I know in Chicago when I was up there, Chicago Fire Department, Chicago Police Department dealt with a very, very bad, they've had it before, but a very bad heat wave. And a lot of senior citizens refused. They had a lot of deaths, a lot of them 1 year. A lot of senior citizens refused to leave their homes, their apartments for a couple reasons. One is they're afraid of looters and people like that, but everything they own was there. And they're like, I'm leaving everything I own behind. I'm not. And your heart bleeds for them. Your heart hurts for them. But at the same time, I know when our guys went down with our task force for Hurricane Ike, some of the greatest challenges they faced were because of people that refused to follow orders and evacuate and created a bigger problem for us or for them. So you had those people that stayed back. We know New Orleans, I mean, we're talking horrible things that happened in Alabama, in Mississippi, you know, Florida, with everything that came across here. So, you know, there was a lot of focus on just one area, but there were millions and millions of people affected by this.
I think we had a pretty good evacuation. The ones that stayed back were ones that have probably been saying for years they will never leave. We spent a lot of time actually riding through neighborhoods on the PAs, in the engines, riding all over neighborhoods, announcing really loud and repeating, you know, evacuate, need to leave the area. The few that stayed, we really didn't have much trouble. One of the biggest problems was fires. You know, there was no alert. There was there was nobody reporting fires. There was no phone. There was no cell phone service. There was zero
cell phone service.
No cell phone service. Mm-hmm. No TV. No FM radio. There was absolutely nothing. We had radio-to-radio communications for a few days until they could put up some temporary repeater sites so that we can start talking throughout the parish again. But the biggest problem was when we got the report of fire, it was because we were reporting it ourselves, because we were at the firehouse, happened to be outside and saw the smoke down the street or blocks away, and went and drive around to find it. So by the time we made it there, it was surrounded and drowned. It was maybe two or three exposures from,
which,
you know, one incident.
Insult to injury, when these folks left, and then there's nothing you can do, man. I mean, what do you do? And they left, and they're like, and not only did, you know, they're losing things due to the flood, now it's burning, and there's no way for people to phone in the alarm or tell you.
Right.
You know,
the fires and then transportation. I mean, almost every street was blocked with down trees or down power lines.
The third night there, we drove a fire truck through a tree.
Yeah.
Because of how dark it was, you just
couldn't see it coming down. We got Gus and a few other guys brought their ATVs in. Me and a few other guys knew how to drive heavy machinery, so we went and commandeered some front end loaders, and we'd load up four wheelers and front end loaders during the day, and we took the time to actually go clear every single street in our response area.
The residents come back,
they could get home, and we can get where we needed to get.
So it's not just, we always know it's not just fighting fires.
Every day was 10 hours of riding the streets, cutting trees, crews of cutting trees and clearing streets, pushing trees out
of
the way.
We responded to fires 2 hours away in Plaquemines Parish, close to Venice, Louisiana, and all of that, just to help them
out. They burned about, how long was that? A half a mile of houses?
A half a mile houses.
20, 25, 30
half
houses?
Half a mile houses, 25, 30 houses.
No water, couldn't get any water. We laid like 5,000-6,000 feet of hose to supply, we had to put a pumper in the river to get supplies. There was no water pressure. So
everything. It's
one
like
exposure.
And since then, Plaquemines Parish has gone from an all-volunteer fire department to combination with career and volunteers, paid fire chief, the whole nine yards.
Well, you know, you look at the San Francisco earthquake back in the early 1900s, there were things that they do differently even still today because of what they learned way back when, and they're better because of it. But, hey, for our listeners that may just join us, we're visiting with two of the members from we're in Marrero, Louisiana, and I'm saying that right?
Louisiana. One of the first ones to say it right.
Well, because I hear it from all of the people and kind of on the border coming, you know, back and forth with Texas.
Right.
But anyway, we're with Deputy Chief Blake Hunter and Captain Gus Tierney visiting about right now approaching 10-year anniversary on the tragic Hurricane Katrina. We talked about the seawalls, guys. We talked about the power outages. We've talked about... we went out and you gave me a great tour, like we said before. But Gus, you mentioned something the other day, because I always ask when I go places, how well does everybody get together and how, you know, work together? And you said that they do really well here. But you mentioned that training because of Katrina.
Yes, sir. Since Katrina, we've since had specialized training, USAR training, confined space rescue training, high angle rescue training, swift water rescue training that we never had before. And due to grants, we was able to get all this training. It was no cost to the department, which was a really big help at the time. Not all the residents were back. Not all the business were back full swing. Tax base money, wasn't the same as it used to be. So that really helped out. And all the departments got involved in it, and all the departments started training together in case of this event happens again, which it did in 2008 for Hurricane Gustav. We sent people from, 7 different departments, went down to Grand Isle, Louisiana, and we ran search and rescue missions. We cleared their roads. There's 7 feet of sand on their roads.
And 7 feet of sand.
The Army came in with their big heaven front-end loaders to clear all the sand out the way, but they wouldn't do it until the telephone poles, power lines, everything was completely off the roads. So we got there, we ran some medical calls. Until medical got there, they set up their base logistics, start clearing all them poles, and we stayed there for seven days, and we cleared the whole island. And yep. How long is the island? It's a mile wide by...
I don't remember, but it's a few
miles
long.
Five to seven miles long, and we cleared the whole island. But the training continued, the continuing education continued, and it's still going on. We're still training, preparing for the next event.
Well, and I think you may have seen that. You guys brought together how many different departments for the Company Officer Academy here the past few days? 12?
I want to say it was 12, 12 or 13.
12 to 13. Now, we had an officer from Texas come over, travel.
Texas,
we got a lot of people. And we had a few people that had to get hotels to travel, but a lot of them were from this area. Everybody, you could see it. Everybody seemed to get along really well, and you could just tell.
Just a bunch of great firemen, that's all.
Well, you said it, brother. You know, it's just, we talk about all the time, when we don't improve after a tragedy, whether it's a line of duty death with a firefighter or something tragic and horrible, again, like we talk about Katrina or 9/11, when we don't make improvements after that, when we don't take what we learned, the lessons learned, and make improvements and fight to make those improvements, I know we all three agree, we talk about this, or all three of us believe this and agree, we truly have failed, and you guys have done nothing but great stuff here. And
absolutely.
Hats off to you. I was impressed. I was, you know, and I couldn't wait to visit with you on it. If people are like down this way, New Orleans, whatever, New Orleans.
New Orleans.
And I had my Boudin balls.
That's spelled N-A-W-L-I-N.
I had my Boudin balls down while I was down here for dinner, and we love it. The folks are incredible. If they were down this way, and you guys are so accommodating, if somebody stopped by here, want to stop by your department, and like, hey, I heard the podcast, I'll ask you about what seawalls you're talking about. If they want to come by, first of all, what's the website, Chief?
Our website now. It's temporary, very temporary. We're just getting started. So there's not much on there. There was a sign up for your class, and we have a little calendar
there. Everybody starts somewhere.
We're working on getting a good site. But please continue to check it out. It's www.mevfd.com. We also have a Facebook. Well, I had a Facebook account, but now recently Facebook caught on to me. I had an account set up because I was reaching more people that way.
Yeah.
Now they're making me convert to a page, but you can follow us on that. That's Marrero Estelle FD is our Facebook page. So go like us on there. We're going to try it. You know, any classes we have come up, like bringing you guys in, all that stuff gets posted. You can reach me by email if you have any questions, or if you want to get on our training list. We're trying to get together a training list.
So we'll bring you guys in.
We'll just blast this kind of stuff out. My email address is my first name, dot last name, Blake, B-L-A-K-E, dot Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R, at mevfd.com.
Okay, easy enough. There we go. Gus, if they want to get a hold of you, Cat, plus you're also a reserve police officer.
Yes, sir.
You work with the tactical team and everything else. Air Force vet.
Yep.
God bless you. Thank you for that. Email address.
August, like the month, A-U-G-U-S-T. Dot Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, at mevfd.com.
That's perfect. Well, guys, I can't thank you enough for everything. First of all, taking time out. We all have families and that to visit on the 10-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Actually starting today, but coming up the 29th, really, for here, August 29th, 10 years. Third landfall hit here on August 29th. And then obviously just an end there. But the other thing, John and I can't thank you enough for the honor. What a great, you guys are incredible hosts. The food, the class, the people, everybody. Had a chief come up afterwards, all teary-eyed, said it's the best thing he's ever done. And it's because of you guys. We can come in here all day long, but you got
to
attend.
It's definitely you guys. We just gave you a place to do it at. Well, y'all do the work.
Well, I appreciate that. And for our listeners, we're going to close things out here. Spread the word about what's going on here in this great fire department. You know, check out that website. Keep watching for updates. Incredible things going on all over the country. But keep in mind, with the 10-year anniversary here, there's just a whole lot of people that went through a horrible time. And, you know, just have some good thoughts and a couple of prayers and keep them going that way. So, you know, if, God forbid, things happen, things get taken care of just like they've been doing already here with the troops. Chief?
John, I wanted to add one more thing, if you wouldn't mind. We're actually starting a patch board in our training room. So if you guys want to, we'll trade some patches out. If you want to email me, get our information, or if you want to mail them in directly to us, our address is 2248 Barataria, B-A-R-A-T-A-R-I-A Boulevard in Marrero, Louisiana, M-A-R-R-E-R-O. 70072 is the zip code. We'd love to have the patches wherever they come from. And we promise we'll get you one out in return as quick as we can.
Well, folks, I'm telling you, make it down here. If you come here, you do any visiting, you take vacation time, give yourself a half a day, an hour, whatever, slide on by. You're literally minutes from everything here. You know, come visit with WG Blake Hunter and Captain T. Tierney, Gus Tierney, our firefighter and police officer, a man after my own heart. Thanks, guys. I can't thank you enough again. Folks, we've been visiting you here on our Pride and Ownership podcast. If you need to get a hold of me, all you got to do is go to prideandownership.com. Make sure you check out what we're doing on Periscope Live. And then our blog is kind of a catch-all for everything. If you go to prideandownershipblog.com, that's at Firefighter Nation, but that website, you can catch just about everything we're doing there. So with that, we never end any of our radio shows, Hump Day Hangouts, any of our podcasts, any of our programs without two things. And that one is, the first one is, please keep the men and women serving in our armed forces in your thoughts and prayers, overseas, here, wherever they're at, for doing what they do for us. And two very, very important words, and that's be safe. God bless you and take care.